From experience, that it was the most sensitive part of my body. Crap balls. His lips brushed the sensitive skin lightly, and my body shuddered with delight in response.
I could mark you, Messy. Bite you and make you mine forever, he said softly.
You wouldn't dare, I said in a breathy voice that sounded a little phone sex operator-ish.
No,
he agreed.
When I mark you, it will be because you beg, but I will leave a little gift.
His mouth was on my neck and he sucked. The sensations shot through me like a bullet and went straight to my girly parts. Thoughts were cloudy, but there was a small part of my brain that knew this was a bad idea. Why? Why was this bad? How could something that felt so amazing be wrong? OMG, I knew why this was bad. With every ounce of strength I had, I raised my knee and introduced it to his man, Jules. His grunt of pain was music to my ears as he rolled off of me and curled into a ball. I am not yours to play with anymore. I huffed and got to my feet. He was still on the floor. I backed away in case he was bluffing. I knew I'd nailed him, but...
You are going to explain very soon why your body says one thing and your knee says another.
He snapped and got on all fours.
I don't buy that you don't want me, and God knows I want you.
He continued to breathe unevenly as he worked through the pain I'd inflicted. I was fine with that. He'd caused me more pain than I'd ever known I could handle. I was glad to give some back. You are unbelievable. You either have amnesia or you're the smarmiest buttwank I've ever known. I owe you nothing. I'll be at your office tomorrow morning before I register at the modeling agency, and then we can talk on a need-only basis. Period. He was still on the floor, and I actually felt a tiny bit bad. However, I was glad he was down, and I left before he could come after me and get his payback. This job was sucking so bad, and I had a feeling it was only going to get worse. Chapter 5 If I told you once, I told you 20 times, bloodsucker. If you hold your needles like that, it's going to be lopsided. Granny chastised Duane as they knitted up a storm.
You're just pissy because I've already knitted 12 scarves to your 9, Fido,
Duane huffed, knitting like the devil himself was on his heels. The living room was a disaster. Yarn, needles, and patterns littered the overturned furniture. My BFF and Granny sat on the floor in the middle of the calamity, sweating up a storm. Well, Granny sweated. Vampires didn't have pores. The scarves were hideous, all holy and messy and weird, but there was a ton of them. Completely unable to piece together any probable story of what had happened, I stood in silence and gaped. "Close your mouth. You'll catch flies," Granny informed me, not even glancing up from the fuchsia thing she was creating.
"Did you bang him?"
Duane asked, while still completely absorbed in his puke-green masterpiece.
"I have money riding on it."
"No, I didn't bang him," I yelled. "What in the hell happened here?" I hoped my volume and quick change of subject would throw them. No such luck.
"I say the hickey on your neck proves my bang theory,"
Duane said, held up the horrific scarf and dropped his needles in exhaustion.
"I win, Furball."
"Bull honky," Granny snapped. "My quality is far superior."
"There was nothing in the rules that implied quality,"
Duane stated calmly, secure in his victory. "What happened to the living room?" I asked as I began to write the furniture. "Well, we had a little debate," Granny said, eyeing the pile of crap they'd created.
"It turns out Granny has sharper fangs and a slightly better right hook, and I'm faster and have a far superior sense of smell,"
Duane informed me. "That ain't nothing to brag about, Vein Eater," she sniffed indignantly. "Fangs trump smell any day of the week."
"She has a point," I added.
Duane laughed and wrapped a pink scarf around his neck.
"I can smell species."
This shocked and silenced both me and Granny. I was totally unaware that vamps could identify species by scent. That was huge. I could scent a shifter, and I knew if it was a wolf, but it took more than just smell to correctly identify what kind of shifter.
I call bullshit, Granny said and wound a baby blue scarf around her neck. That was a rabbit that delivered the pizza, Dwayne said and handed me a shiny silver scarf. You'll need this to cover the welts on your neck. Ignoring the comment and the ugly holy neckwear, I zeroed in on Grandma. You ordered pizza from Juju? Juju was a rabbit shifter and made the best pizza known to man. It was so damn good that every wolf in the surrounding area had voluntarily given up eating rabbit in their animal form. No one would take the risk of accidentally eating Juju. No one. Yes, I did. And apparently Bat Boy isn't joking. You knew he was a rabbit? She demanded. Of course, Dwayne answered smugly. And he's boffing a weasel. Juju and Sarah Mary Munchhouse are doing the nasty? I gasped and dropped down on an upended plaid ottoman. That was too much to stomach. Juju was 5 feet tall and weighed 100 pounds sopping wet, and Sarah Mary was 6 feet tall and came in at a conservative 300. The physical mechanics were mind-boggling. Shoving the images into the far recesses of my brain in the never pull those up again section, I got back to the more important issue. There's Juju pizza in this house and you didn't tell me? I was a little busy kicking your dead friend's ass, Granny said. Go help yourself. I will, I muttered and hauled tail to the kitchen. It had been a full year since I'd eaten Juju's pizza and my mouth watered at the prospect. Junior came by and left you a stack of files, Granny said as she snagged a slice. He gave your buddy the evil eye till Dwayne asked him if he'd had butt implants and wanted to touch them to make sure they were real. I choked on my pizza and asked myself yet again why I'd let Dwayne come with me. I really wish I'd known he was Hank's older brother. I would have mentioned impaling you on a regular basis, Dwayne said earnestly. Again, I choked. Looks like Hank the Hickey Master struck again, Granny stated gleefully with a mouthful of double pepperoni. What are you talking about? I demanded. Juju's pizza suddenly tasted like cardboard in my mouth as the reality hit. I had thought they were joking. Did that hairy dork leave a mark? A big one, Dwayne gushed. You so banged him. I did not bang him. I racked him. Whoa, he said, bending at the waist in sympathy. You're really mean. You know what? I shouted. I'm not mean. He's mean. Mean and stupid and full of himself and wanky and fat and ugly and mean and dumb and... And you want to bang him? Dwayne added unhelpfully. I dropped to the floor in defeat. Pizza wasn't going to help. The only thing that would help at this point was running again, but that was out of the question. I had a job. Maybe I got it under false pretenses, but I was a good agent and I knew it. I would find out what was happening here, end it, and then I was gone. I had to leave or I would fall back into a trap that would tear my heart to shreds from the inside out. Yes. Yes, I want to bang him, but I won't. I have a small amount of self-respect left, and I plan to hang on to it for dear life. Honey child, what happened? Granny asked as she slid down the wall and plopped down on the floor next to me. What could have been so awful? Dwayne got comfortable on the other side of me. Usually being sandwiched by people made me itch, but these people loved me, warts and all. I don't want to talk about it, I mumbled. Sometimes talking about painful things helps, Essie, Dwayne said gently. I'll go first. About 250 years ago, during a great famine, there wasn't enough food for the humans and they got really skinny and tasted like burnt peas and rancid hummus. It was harder than hell for a vampire to eat. I accidentally killed a lovely fellow from my glee club, and I just felt awful about it. So I started drinking pig's blood, and let me tell you, that was gross. Pigs are cute. Well, piglets are. And all I could find were damn piglets. They would stare at me with those little piglet eyes. I love Charlotte's Web. The book is way better than the movie, don't you think? Anywho, I got so upset I moved on to sheep. Several vamps I knew were even... Wait, what were we talking about? Dwayne asked. I honestly don't remember, I whispered fearfully, as I prayed he wouldn't continue his bizarre confession. Granny was quiet. She was either contemplating Dwayne's story or trying to come up with one that would top his. I shivered as I realized she would go to her standard fare and regale us with anecdotes from her stripping days, which could easily morph into a demonstration. I had to stop the madness before it began. "I have to read files tonight," I explained as I unwedged myself. "You should take Dwayne out and show him the town. Maybe go to the beach or stroll down Main Street."
"She's got that covered," Dwayne squealed. "We're going to a drag show."
"In Hung?" I asked Granny. "There's a drag club in Hung?"
"Three," she replied,
"and two shifter strip clubs."
How did I not know this?
I bit down hard on the inside of my cheek. If she was still disrobing in public, I didn't want to know. There wasn't a therapist alive that could wipe that image out of my brain.
"Okay, you guys have fun. And Dwayne, if you're going to eat, you need to be discreet. We're used to a variety of shifters down here, but not vamps."
"Don't you worry about nothing. I've got his back," Granny said. "Anyone calls him a bloodsucker or homo will answer to my fist, my boot, and my taser." With that lovely nugget, she left the room to get gussied up.
"Oh, my God. If I were into women, I'd marry your granny so fast."
Dwayne preened in front of the mirror.
Awesome. I gagged. "If you say anything that foul again, you're walking back to Chicago. Tonight."
"It would be a little weird to be your grandpa," he mused.
"Do you do it on purpose?"
"Do what?"
he asked, confused.
"Leave me with images that no amount of psychotherapy could remove. Burnt peas and rancid hummus are now seared into my brain along with you and Granny and the fact that you clearly sang in a glee club."
"Those were difficult times, Essie. You think you have problems? Try running naked through coals while being pelted with boar's teeth."
"Nothing. I had nothing."
"You ready, dead boy?" Granny asked.
Oh, hell to the no. She was dressed in a boob tube, peasant skirt, and sequined kitten heels. Wares did not look their age. Granny could easily pass for mid-40s even though she was in her 80s, but a boob tube was wrong on anyone over 5.
"Granny, I really don't think you should..."
"You are smoking hot,"
Dwayne yelled as he fist-bumped my elderly grandma.
What the hell was I thinking?
He had more than 200 years on both of us. Weird was my new normal. Accept and continue.
"Okay, then. Try not to get arrested and be home before sunup," I muttered and grabbed the stack of files.
"You sure you don't want to come? Bennett Palmbell does a mean share," she explained as she twisted her hair up and shoved 3 chopsticks into it. Bennett Palmbell was an upstanding panther shifter with 7 kids and a shrew of a wife. "Accept and continue. I'm good. Got work to do."
"Does anyone do Gaga?"
Dwayne asked as they walked out the front door.
"No, maybe you should," she suggested.
"Do you think I'd be good?" he gushed.
"You'd be wonderful. I have some wigs from my stripping days in the garage. You want to see?"
Granny asked a deliriously excited Dwayne.
"Lead on, my queen. Lead on."
The files were meticulous. I had assumed Hank was good. He was an alpha of a large and very happy pack, but I had no clue what an amazing detective he was. Not that I'd tell him. Ever. I'd spent the better part of 4 hours poring over the files before Granny and Lady Gaga, a.k.a. Dwayne and full-on drag, got home. Apparently, Dwayne was the new star of the Hung drag circuit, and Granny was now his manager. They were booked solid for the week. After seeing a replay of Dwayne's performance on Granny's phone and then watching him perform the highlights in the kitchen, we went to bed. Dwayne was a truly amazing Gaga. They both made me swear on a stack of Bibles I would catch a performance this week. I promised I'd try. Chapter 6.
"You know, if you would dress up like Beyonce, we could do a killer version of Telephone," Dwayne said as he handed me a glass of fresh-squeezed OJ and a blueberry muffin he had baked for breakfast.
"Why do you bake if you don't eat?" I asked. It relaxes me. Are you ignoring my suggestion?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I bit into the muffin and my eyes rolled back in ecstasy.
My vampire could bake.
I'd like you to consider my brilliant idea.
Dwayne, the point of drag is that men dress up as women. I am a woman with real boobs.
True, and your boobs are fab boo. You're hotter than hell, and I'd love to see you in some gold lame booty shorts and a sequined bra. I think it would be therapeutic for you.
I have about 14 sequined bras. Granny chimed in as she sauntered into the kitchen and grabbed a muffin. Some of them are nippleless, but I'm sure I have a few that would work.
On that note, I'm out of here, I said. I grabbed the files and an extra muffin.
Can you two stay out of trouble?
The innocent looks on their faces set my allergic to bullshit radar off, but I didn't have time to babysit them.
Just don't get arrested, I muttered, and hurried out the door before Granny insisted I try on her sparkly brassieres.
Lunch? Dwayne yelled as I ran to my car.
Yep, I'll call you.
The office was a disaster, like someone had ransacked it, but I realized as Junior paced the room, it was him. He was knocking everything off the tables and walls. He was alarmingly animated and unconsciously destructive. For my own safety, I pressed myself against the door and waited.
Listen to me, Essie, Junior pleaded. You have got to bang my brother. Just bang the living hell out of him.
I'm sorry, what did you just say? The sheriff's office, which wasn't large to start with, had just gotten smaller. It felt as if the walls were closing in and I was going to get squished like a bug. Was he for real? Was there anyone in Hung who didn't want me to bang Hank? Well, I knew of three people who certainly didn't want me to bang him.
It's been a year since he got numb. Hangman is my baby brother's favorite, you know, game, and I'm going to suggest making it a professional Olympic sport, and,
Junior paled considerably and inched his huge body toward the exit, making it very obvious that the potential bangee had entered the room.
Junior, I can handle my own affairs, Hank ground out. If you'd like to live to see tomorrow, I'd suggest you take the rest of the day off.
Outstanding suggestion, bro. Junior agreed shakily as he slunk out of the office.
Should I straighten up in here? No, I'll take care of it.
Hank groaned as he took in the mess Junior had made. I closed my eyes for a brief moment before I really looked at Hank. If Junior was telling the truth, Hank hadn't gotten laid in a year. That made no sense whatsoever, and Junior was famous for stretching the truth, so I decided to wrestle with that another time, as in never. However, my lady bits and my inner wolf danced with joy.
Stop.
Not here to bang the sheriff. Here to work. Period. I was a big girl, and I could work with him. I was beyond impressed with his attention to detail in the reports, and he had some theories I hadn't considered. He was a colleague, and I was a professional. Nothing more, nothing less. Plastering a pleasant smile on my face, I opened my eyes and... Mother humpin' cowballs. I quickly grabbed the back of a chair so I would continue to appear as if I could stand on my own feet. He wore a shirt I had given him. A lightweight green Henley that matched his eyes perfectly. Not only was he color-coordinated, he was mouth-watering. His muscles strained against the fabric and begged to be licked.
Wait.
What? I mentally smacked the tar out of my inner wolf and prayed to all the angels and saints for strength. There would be no licking today. The files were very thorough, I choked out as I breezed past him into his office. Blindly sitting on the first thing my butt could find, I realized I was perched on a pile of old newspapers.
Nice.
You comfortable?
He asked with a smirk. Extremely, thank you. I'd be damned if I was going to let on that I hadn't meant to slap my rear end down on a large stack of paper. Newspapers are good for posture and lower back, I mumbled, and then bit down on my tongue before I spewed out more inane crap. Why did I let him affect me this way? I was over him. Done. Over and done. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
So, thoughts?
He settled in behind his desk and waited. About? I asked politely, hoping desperately I'd not uttered any of my incriminating inner monologue aloud.
The case?
He grinned and raised an eyebrow. His eyes were like an ice-cold shower. Thank God. The case.
I could handle talking business. I was good at that. It was everything else I had problems with. The files are good, but why is there very little about the humans running the agency? He paused and gave me a smile that resembled a grimace.
They're not local. Three human males came in from New York and were having a hell of a time tracing them.
Have you put them in the WTF database?
Yep. They're drawing blanks, too.
Interesting, and not good, I said as I pulled out the thinnest file and scanned it. The bodies haven't been found, and the scent trails disappeared. I find that very difficult to believe. How much of a time lapse was there before the searches started?
The first victim was 3 days,
he said tightly, and ran his hand through his hair in frustration.
After that, it was immediate once we learned they were missing.
And you found nothing?
Isn't that obvious, Miss Hotshot?
He snapped.
This is driving me crazier than you sitting across the desk from me. These are my people, and I'm supposed to protect them. I can't even find them,
he bellowed. His concern for our missing pack members and his fury at being unable to locate them filled the room. I was simply being professional, but felt like a jerk. Again, I was reminded that I was on a case with huge conflicts of interest. Maintaining distance and objectivity were going to be difficult. Knowing the missing women was hard enough. Working with the person whom my inner wolf was convinced was her true mate was pure hell. Wolves could mate with whomever they wanted. Some lasted and some didn't. We had long lives and overactive sex drives. If you didn't find your true mate, a fairy tale I tended to not believe, you often had several relationships during a lifetime. True mates belonged together, supposedly. If they had crossed paths, even as children, they would never be happy with someone else. Which proved my theory that Hank wasn't my true mate. If he had been, he couldn't have cheated on me. It was a virtual, medical, and erectile impossibility for a male ware to cheat on his true mate. Junior was full of crap. There was no way in hell Hank the Tank wasn't getting some. He was the most oversexed ware I knew. Not that I knew about any other ware's sex lives. I'd only ever been with the smug butt-knuckle who was staring at me. I was pathetic. I needed to get back out there. It was beside the point that I hadn't dated or even shown a modicum of interest in anyone since I'd left him. But I'd been busy. Extremely busy. Becoming a killing machine for WTF had been a ton of work, and then I...
Look,
Hank said, thankfully cutting my ridiculous thought process short.
I don't want you here because it's not safe. As much as I want to take you over my knee and spank the hell out of you for leaving, I don't think I could go on if something happened to you. So you will report your every move to me, or I will be on you so fast it will hurt. Do you understand?
Do you understand that I've done things far more dangerous than this? I shot back, ignoring the fact that the spanking thing was kind of a turn-on.
Considering we don't know what we're dealing with, that's a bold and risky statement to make.
He crossed over to me and obliterated my personal space. Short of straddling the newspapers in a miniskirt to back off of them, I was stuck. I hated being wrong, but I was smart enough to admit when I was. Cocky got you killed. I had no plans to die any time in the near future. Fine, I said, and tried to push him away to little avail. That was stupid and arrogant. I will go into this carefully, and I will take as few risks as possible. As far as constant communication, I'll do my best. But you have to let me do my job.
What exactly do you plan on doing?
He demanded. The thick muscles in his neck were taut, and I knew it was taking everything he had not to run my wolfy ass out of town. I plan to fly by the seat of my pants, I explained logically, as his jaw clenched along with his fists. Since we don't know who or what we're dealing with yet, I can't give you solids. However, I do promise if it looks dangerous, I won't go in without backup.
I call bullshit.
What?
You've gone into situations 4 times in the last year without backup. The last time you were almost killed.
Do I look dead to you? I hissed. He had some nerve. I'd done all that because lives were at stake. Twice it had been children's lives.
You were lucky, and luck runs out.
I beg to differ, butthole. Damn it, butthole made me sound like an incompetent child. I should have said asshole. Luck had nothing to do with it. I'm skilled, and I made all of those sons of bitches hurt bad. And how in the hell do you know all this? I barked.
Essie, I am always aware of what belongs to me.
Well, as lovely as that is, I sneered, I don't belong to you. I belong to me and me alone. You need to move before I introduce your nuts to my fist. I'd use my knee on your man bits, but I'm wearing a miniskirt, and I refuse to flash my goodies at you. I did my research and wore something modelly because that's how I roll. Plus, I'm more apt to get the gig if I flash some leg and tit, so move, now. Hank yanked me to my feet and flush against his hard body.
You will wear a wire.
Gritting my teeth and forbidding myself to rub all over him like a cat in heat, I nodded curtly. I will wear a wire.
Lift your shirt and unbutton that scrap of material you call a skirt,
he instructed. Not on your life. He gave me a lazy grin and shrugged.
Fine. Can you wire yourself?
Of course, I snapped. How hard could it be to hide a damn wire? I snatched the pack from his hand and went to work. He stepped back and watched with interest. I shoved the pack down the back of my panties and clipped it. I then wound the wire around my body with shaking hands. I eased the cord and mic under my bra and attached it to my bra cup. Done, I said triumphantly.
Look in the mirror.
I glanced over at my reflection and realized someone would have to be blind not to know I was wearing a wire. Crap, crap, crap. It was a mess. Sucking in a huge breath and remembering why I was actually here, I gave in. Help me.
Please.
He gave me the sexiest evil grin and cocked his head to the right. Please, I ground out between clenched teeth.
My pleasure. Lift your shirt and unbutton your skirt.
I did. His warm, calloused hands on my bare skin as he readjusted the wire and taped it to my body were a mixture of heaven and hell. His clean, sexy scent invaded my nose and I held my breath. It was all I could do to not turn around, slam him to the ground, and have my way with him.
I need to move the pack lower, he said gruffly,
and slid his hands into the back of my panties. We both froze, and I gasped. Air hissed from between his lips, and it burned my neck. A small fire had ignited low in my belly and began to travel quickly through me. His hand slid down and cupped my bare ass, and his head dropped to my shoulder. His lips grazed my neck, and I shuddered. I was quite sure this wasn't a normal cop procedure, but I couldn't bring myself to make him stop. It was the first time I'd felt alive in a year, and I hated that he made me feel this way. My gums ached, and I knew my fangs were very close to the surface. His had arrived, and I felt them scrape my skin. You have to stop, I begged, but did nothing to make him. If I wasn't mistaken, and I wasn't, I was fairly sure I'd readjusted so my butt was more firmly in his hand. What was wrong with me?
Do you really want me to?
He whispered in my ear, sending chills down my spine and my girly parts into a tailspin. God, if he kept talking, I would come apart by his voice alone. He had that sexy werewolf magic thing down pat. I nodded my head yes, afraid my mouth would tell him to bend me over his desk and make me see Jesus.
You have no idea how hard it is, pun intended, for me to let you go right now. But I will. We have to find out what is happening to our people and end it. But this conversation is far from over. Do you understand me?
I nodded again, terrified that I was going to beg for a quickie before I went out and kicked some ass. He slowly slid his hand from my panties, and my body felt bereft. I may have nodded yes, but the rest of this conversation was never going to happen. He already had my broken heart. I'd given it to him years ago. There was no way in hell he was going to take my pride.
Your appointment is in 15 minutes. You'll meet me for lunch afterward. Everyone in town believes we're back together.
One last time I nodded, afraid if I spoke I might cry. I stared at him for a long moment. His strength and power were evident in every move he made. At one point in time I basked in it, but now I just admired it from afar. He was a force of nature, a true alpha. I worried for a brief moment that if he couldn't find our people that I might not be able to either, but I pushed that thought aside. I might be a screw-up in life, but I was damn good at finding trouble. It came to me. And now, because I was prepared, I could destroy it. And I would. I walked slowly toward Hank. His quick intake of breath brought a small smile to my lips. He was right. Who knew what I was getting into? Today might be my last, and I wanted to do one small thing just in case. He stood as still as a statue as I pressed my lips to his. I breathed in his masculine scent, and I was home. It was just too damn bad his lips liked other necks and chests and asses. But for one brief moment, I pretended he was still mine. I pulled back and moved to leave.
"The conversation is not over, Essie,"
he warned. I turned and walked away. There was little else I could do. Chapter 7. The agency was on Main Street next to the cozy used bookstore that I had practically lived in as a kid. The sense of home I felt in this little sleepy town made my heart thump painfully. However, this was no longer my home. I'd left by choice, and I would leave again. Glancing around, I zeroed in on the modeling agency. Damn, it was ugly. Model's mania was sleek and modern, and didn't fit into my charming town at all. The name was beyond stupid, too. I let go of my attitude, hunkered down in my smelly car, and reviewed what I knew. It was run by three human males from New York, Peter Pyre, Paul Tinder, and Puck Flair. The names were bizarre and slightly unfortunate. I had concluded that they were aliases since we couldn't trace them. They clearly thought they were hot, considering they had all forms of fire as their surnames. I bit back a groan and read on. There was no indication that the three P's knew that shifters existed, but I didn't buy it. No human women had gone missing, and I didn't believe it was a coincidence. It was risky to imply that the council, since they had backed the agency, had let the humans in on our secret, but the evidence was pointing that way. It appeared that the missing girls had been recruited. Did the humans recruit them, or did the council? I flipped through the file and found nothing. I quickly texted Granny and told her to call around and find out the buzz on the recruiting. She texted back that she would get on it after she and Dwayne finished a round of paintball. She promised to have some info at lunch. I hoped to hell they'd at least gone out to the deserted beach to shoot each other with paint, but my expectation was that they were attacking each other in broad daylight in the quaint confines of her neighborhood. So much for no arrests. The agency looked empty, but I had an appointment in 5 minutes. I grabbed a cup and filled it with water from a bottle I found under the seat. I hoped to come out of there with some fingerprints on it. Checking my makeup in the rearview mirror, I was satisfied. The fact that I could pass for a model didn't thrill me. My looks were inherited. Actually, most shifters were pretty people. While being attractive had gotten in the way occasionally during training, it certainly came in handy today. I pushed up my boobs, hiked up my skirt, checked my wire, and went into battle. "Hello," I called out in the darkened office. It was obsessively neat and smelled odd. I couldn't place it. I wandered to the counter and examined the stack of beauty products. I found the culprit. Self-tanner. It had the strangest odor. I slipped one in my purse and took a seat on the white leather settee.
"Be right with you,"
a rough male voice called from the back. The sound of a woman giggling in the back room made my stomach lurch. I recognized the laugh, and I had to breathe deeply to keep my claws from coming out. Literally. I despised the owner of the laugh. Damn it. If one of them was back there, I'd bet money all three were. They were beautiful on the outside, even if they were nasty, evil homewreckers. Whoa, Nellie. Hank had a choice. It took two to tango, or in their case, four. I might hate them, but if it hadn't been them, he would have most certainly fooled around with someone else. Maybe I should thank them. Nope. That was never going to happen. I could have mated with him and found out what a cheating dog he was after the fact. As much as I wanted to shift into my wolf and tear those girls apart, they had actually done me a favor.
"What's she doing here?" a nasal voice demanded. "I didn't give her an appointment."
I was right. It was Tina number one, and she was not pleased to see me. She was one of three. They were all named Tina, and they had all had a hand in ruining my life. She'd clearly moved on from Hank because she was draped over a large, attractive man like a barnacle. Large man shoved Tina number one off of him and stepped forward with his hand extended and a slick smile on his pretty face.
"Please excuse the help. It's difficult to find subordinates with manners these days. I'm Puck Flair, owner and talent coordinator of the agency. It's lovely to meet you. You must be Essie McGee."
Tina number one positively seethed. As delighted as I was with the way he shot her down, it was also appalling. Not to mention it stymied me why she would let a mere human treat her so poorly. She was a werewolf, and we rarely mix with humans in a romantic or sexual way.
"I am." An unexplainable feeling of uneasiness shot through me as I extended my hand.
I plastered on a smile that I prayed didn't look fake and took his hand in mine. He felt a bit cool for a human, but he was definitely human.
"I do believe we could book you on some very big jobs."
He circled me like I was a car he was considering. "Great! That's great!" I masked my unease and jumped up and down a bit to appear as vapid as possible. Tina number one hissed and narrowed her eyes.
"Tina, don't you have work to do?"
Puck snapped. She nodded meekly and went to the back room.
"Sorry about that, my dear,"
he said.
"She wants to model, but she's a bit too short. Let's have you fill out some paperwork, and then we'll take some Polaroids for your file. Do you have a headshot or a portfolio?"
No. I've just always thought this might be fun, and I'm into travel and being in magazines," I gushed.
"That's wonderful. You're available to travel. No jealous boyfriends or silly little day jobs to speak of."
"Nope, free and clear. No job and definitely no boyfriend," I said, and wondered what Hank thought about my answer. I knew he was listening through an earpiece at the station. "Can I ask a few questions, Mr. Flair?"
"Of course, and please, call me Puck."
"Sure, Puck. What kinds of jobs could I book with you, and what's the pay?"
"Dear girl, for someone with your looks and body, the sky is the limit."
He made me feel dirty, and I was positive he was involved with the missing girls, but I had no clue how or why. I giggled and searched my repertoire for something girly and flirty. I unconsciously did the Dwayne hair flick over my shoulder and almost burst out laughing. Concentrating hard, I held back my eye roll and the strong need to call Puck something that rhymed with his name and ended in "-er."
"Wow," I cooed and did a little shimmy. "That's the total bomb. When do I start?"
He chuckled and bought my vapid enthusiasm hook, line, and sinker.
"We'll start tomorrow. However, you're a bit pale,"
he said as he walked to the mountain of beauty products on the counter.
"How about you do a little self-tanner tonight so your shots tomorrow will be as sexy as you are?"
"Oh, Puck," I gasped and tossed my hair like an imbecile. "You're such a charmer."
"I do my best."
He covertly began to flex his muscles, and it was all I could do not to throw up in my mouth.
"You need to cover your entire body, if you know what I mean."
He gave me a smarmy smile and winked.
"Oh, that's hot," I cooed.
He handed me the paperwork and I posed for a few Polaroid shots.
"Well, that's about it for now, dear."
Dang it, I needed more info from the pervert. "What about the others?" I asked as I pulled out my phone.
"What others?"
he asked, alarmed.
"The other owners. Don't they have to approve me too?"
I asked innocently as he visibly relaxed.
"Oh, no,"
he bragged.
"I'm in charge. What I say goes. Anyway, they're off on assignments with some other models."
"Cool," I squealed. "Can I take your picture? You are so hot, my friends are going to die."
His ego was huge and he grinned.
"Of course, dear."
"Hold this." I blew him a kiss and handed him my cup. "All my friends' bosses are old and fat. I am gonna rub your hotness in a big way."
"Shall I flex?"
he asked as he waggled his eyebrows.
Oh, my God, he was a loser. But I got his fingerprints on my cup.
Absolutely. But don't be surprised if I faint from your total smoke and manliness, I said in the sexiest voice I could pull out of my butt.
You are a delightful young woman.
He leered and stepped into my personal space.
You are going to be a very desired model.
I took my cup from his hand and stepped back. Breathlessly, I stuttered, What time do I start tomorrow?
Be here at 10, dear, and bring an overnight bag just in case. There's a chance you might book a whirlwind gig in New York and will have to leave immediately.
Awesome, I squealed and hustled to the door. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, dear, tomorrow.
As I quickly made my way to the exit, I heard something large and glass shatter in the back room, accompanied with a string of swear words from the lovely Tina number one. Puck Flair's eyes narrowed frighteningly as he marched back to investigate. Tina number one was one of my least favorite people in the world, but I actually felt fear for her. I considered following him back to defuse the situation, but I could not under any circumstances blow my cover. Innocent women's lives were possibly at stake, or at least their dead bodies. Besides, I was sure he wouldn't harm Tina number one with me having witnessed their tiff. I raced to my car and texted Junior. I told him to stop by the agency and buy some products for his mom. I explained the situation and told him to go immediately. He texted back he would. As much as I wanted to tear Tina number one's limbs from her body, I didn't want to knowingly be responsible for someone harming her. I wanted that honor for myself. Chapter 8. There was no missing them. Duane's bald head and face were dotted with purple and green paint specks, making him look diseased. Granny was wearing a greenish-hued blush, and her left eyebrow was royal blue. Clearly, protective headgear during paintball wars wasn't necessary for them. I rolled my eyes and sat down in the booth. Casey's honky-tonk was a hole-in-the-wall diner a block from the beach. It was a total dive in one of my favorite places in town. The food was awesome, and the human owner loved all the locals, so much so that she often threw startled tourists out when there wasn't a table available for one of her regulars. You do realize you look ridiculous, I said as I pulled out my phone and snapped a few blackmail shots.
SC, Duane said as he bounced in his seat. Granny is going to take me to a football game in the fall.
The Georgia Vultures?
Yep, Granny said. I got some season tickets real cheap.
That's not a big surprise, I laughed. They lost every game last season.
Who cares? Hot guys in tight white pants with grease paint under their eyes grabbing each other's asses and... Oh, my God!
Duane squealed, making me jump and slap my hands over my ears.
What are you doing here, Jeff?
Who in the hell was Jeff?
Actually, Duane, my name is Hank.
The sexy bane of my existence stood next to the table with a grin on his face that would melt hearts, but not mine. One mystery solved. The pieces fell together with sickening clarity. Duane was Hank's informant. Duane had been giving up the goods on me for a year to the ass munch who had cheated on me.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Essie, I am so sorry.
Duane gasped, going as green as the paint dots on his head. It's all right, Duane. I said as I stared daggers at Hank. There wasn't much to tell.
Oh, but there was.
Duane moaned and placed his hand over his mouth.
He knows. Oh, God, I can't even say it.
What in the hell had he told Hank? My stomach roiled and my appetite disappeared.
However,
Duane said carefully as he recovered from his shock,
the whole thing is kind of hot in a reality TV show kind of way. Don't you think so, Essie?
No, I don't, I snapped. Granny was quiet and watched the exchange with great interest. Where was her loyalty? She was supposed to stand up and cold cock Hank. Instead, she had a sneaky little grin on her face. I pretty much hated everybody right now, and I still had no clue what Duane had told Hank. You are not welcome here, I hissed at him. Go away. I will talk to you after I have lunch with the people I love. For a brief second, I could have sworn pain flashed in his eyes, but it had to be the sun streaming through the windows. He was a heartless wanker, obsessed with what he thought he owned.
Nope.
He grinned and wedged his huge body into the booth next to Granny, who patted him on the head with affection. I was so going to divorce her.
We have things to discuss, and time is of the essence.
He was right, which only made me hate him more. Fine. Talk and leave.
Essie, your boob is kind of falling out of your top,
Duane announced loud enough for all the tables in the restaurant to hear. All eyes shot to my boobs. Hank quickly leaned across the table and covered my chest with his bare hands. A zing shot right through me, and my evil, traitorous nipples hardened with delight. Hank's grin almost sent me into meltdown. The kind where I killed him, but first I would stick my tongue down his throat and ride him till he was blind. Shoving him off and grabbing a napkin, I covered my tatas and raced to the bathroom. I had a sundress in my bag. Being an agent had taught me to always carry something extra to wear. No one liked sitting around in blood-spattered or bullet-riddled clothes. The bathroom of Casey's Honky Tonk was an anomaly. The restaurant was tiny, but the ladies' room was huge. 6 Pepto-Bismol-colored stalls and a diaper-changing station. I went to the farthest stall and locked myself in. Peeling off the slutty outfit, I realized I was still wired. Not knowing if I would need it again today, I left it taped to my body and pulled my sexy but comfy sundress over my head. I leaned against the cool wall and tried to decipher my feelings. Why was I so angry with Hank if he didn't mean anything to me? Maybe because I was still madly in love with him? No, I was stronger than that. I had more pride. He had cheated on me with the 3 Tinas, and I had seen the result with my own eyes. I deserved someone who wanted only me. Was I nuts? The magnitude of what I still felt for him was confusing. Maybe I should have talked to him. Did he get cold feet and make a mistake? Mistake was mild for what he did. However, the girl I was a year ago only knew how to run. The woman I'd become might not have, but it was fruitless to be consumed with what-ifs. I can't believe she came back, a voice hissed. I was sure she'd never set foot and hung again. I saw her today, Tina number one said. She was hitting on Puck. Clearly, we didn't do a good enough job, Tina number two snapped angrily. Son of a... Why couldn't I catch a break? The Tinas had entered the bathroom, and they were talking about me. Should I step out and beat the hell out of them? No, that would be childish and possibly messy. I liked my sundress, and quite honestly, Hank deserved my anger more than they did. After a short internal debate with my inner wolf, who wanted to kill them, I decided to stand on the toilet so my feet weren't spotted and listen to what the viper said. They might have some information on the missing girls. Tina number one was working at the modeling agency. Oh, please, Tina number two griped. You're all just pissed because none of us could bag Hank. Wait, what? He's a fool. I literally showed up at his house naked the day after she took off and he kicked me out. No one kicks me out when I'm naked, Tina number one ground out with fury. The other Tinas laughed and Tina number one growled. I was missing a piece of info and my stomach dropped, making me feel ill. My vote, we give each other hickeys all over our bodies again. Show her and tell her he did it. She bought it last time. She's so stupid, she'll buy it again. Do you remember how she sobbed when we showed her what her boyfriend did to us? It was so much fun. I haven't been able to make anyone cry like that in a year, Tina 3 gushed. I actually kind of enjoyed giving you all hickeys, Tina number 3 said. Are you gay? Tina number 2 demanded. No, we were drunk, so it didn't count, Tina number 3 shot back. Look, if she hits on Puck again, I'll give both of you hickeys on your faces to get rid of her. I don't see why men are so attracted to her, Tina number 1 spat. Because she's beautiful, Tina number 3 groused. Let her have Hank. I never really wanted him anyway. Liar, Tina number 2 purred. Everyone red-blooded female ware wants that man. He's the alpha and he's sex on a stick. You're still completely hung up on him. Speak for yourself. We have to go back to the agency and get back to work. Those fiery boys are major taskmasters. Tina number one giggled. My body felt hot and cold at the same time. I wanted to scream and cry and crawl out of my skin. The need to shift and run until there was no feeling left in me was intense. How had I made a mistake like this? Why had I believed them? The tears rolled unchecked down my cheeks. I could not go back to the table. I heard them leave, and I let the sobs roll through my body. The sounds I made were foreign. I thought my heart had broken a year ago, but I was wrong. It was shattering now, and it was no one's fault but mine. The Tinas were right. I was stupid. I had destroyed the best thing in my life by jumping to conclusions, and I was too embarrassed to come clean at this point. Hank deserved someone far better than me. Oh, my God. The idea of him finding love and happiness with someone else was horrifying. But I owed him that after how childish and selfish I'd been. I just needed to get through the next week. I would treat him kinder and try and leave as friends. As much as I hated the reality of him with someone else, I loved him enough to want that to happen. I'd get through lunch and discuss my meeting with Puck Flame, and then I'd shift and go for a long run on the beach. I had a whole day to kill before I could work on the case again, and I needed to clear my mind and try to forgive myself for being the worst person in the world. I had a feeling that would take decades. I splashed my face with cold water and tried to fix my hair. My hands shook and tears kept leaking from my eyes. Pull yourself together. This was your fault. It's done, and you lose. Grow up and move on. My inner wolf prowled restlessly inside me, and I promised her we'd run later. I dabbed my eyes, pinched my cheeks for some color, and plastered on a smile that would never reach my eyes again. I could do this. The lunch crowd had slimmed out, and I noticed Dwayne and Granny had left. The hair on the back of my neck stood up. Maybe I should go for a run now. Hank was still in the booth, and he looked ready to explode. Crap, crap, crap. I owed him an explanation. I was a big enough girl to do the right thing. I had no clue where Granny and Dwayne went, but something was way off. Had Granny read him the right act? God, I hope not. It was me that deserved the right act. If she had pissed Hank off, why would she have left me to deal with it alone? I glanced wildly around the diner and noticed all the shifters had left. Only humans remained. I waved at a few people I knew and dragged my feet back to the booth. Hi. Where did Granny and Dwayne go? I asked. Hank said nothing. His hands were clenched and his jaw was tight. Did you order yet? I didn't order before you got here, and I'm kind of hungry, but not really. Actually, the thought of swallowing food is nauseating right now, but if you want to eat and discuss the case, I can sit here. I could drink some water or a soda, or I could go and get my... Sit, Hank instructed tersely. I did. I think that Puck Flame is definitely dirty, and I think the Tinas are possibly recruiting for him and his partners. I got his prints on my cup, and I'm sure he's using an alias. And, I'm going back in the morning, but I'm sure you know that because you were listening at the station. Hank slowly removed the transmitter from his ear and laid it on the table in front of me. My gut burned and my palms began to sweat. Oh, my hell. I was still wearing the wire. He heard everything in the bathroom and he hated me. I wasn't going to get a chance to tell him what a loser I was because he already knew. The need to run was almost overwhelming, but this time I would stay until I was told to go. Inhaling a deep breath, I gently touched his hand. He didn't take mine, but at least he didn't yank his away. I'm so sorry, I whispered brokenly. I made a terrible mistake, and I'm just so very sorry. He refused to look at me, and I didn't blame him. I didn't want to look at me either. I slid out of the booth and stood. I knew we would have to work together to solve the crime, but I could give him his space when we weren't working. The tiny pieces that were left of my heart tore at my insides. I'll check in tomorrow morning before my appointment. I moved to leave, but his hand snaked out and captured my wrist in a vise-like hold.
If you think you're about to run again,
you have another thing coming.
His voice was low and furious. Let go of my wrist, I said as I tried to hold back tears. I promise I won't run.
Your promises aren't really worth much, Essie,
he said finally, raising his eyes to mine.
If we weren't in a public place, I'd handcuff you to me.
Even though I knew he wanted to lay into me, the thought of being handcuffed to him sent excited chills through me. I had clearly lost it.